Hey friends, welcome back to another episode. I'm very excited about today's episode because we are talking about self-sabotage, which is something that's been very relevant in my life recently. I've had a lot of big, honestly life-changing realizations when it comes to self-sabotage. So I wanted to share them with you because it's been heavy on my mind. But before I get into it, if you're watching on YouTube, you might realize I am sitting in a car and you might realize, Allison, this looks kind of different from the last time you were in a car. It's because I got a new car and I'm really happy about it. But do not worry. The car videos, the outside videos, all of the video versions of these podcasts will be improving soon because I am moving into my own apartment. I am moving in a week from today, which is kind of fucking crazy. I'm so excited to have my own space again. And I'm not going to tell you where yet, but you'll know soon enough. Keep up with me on Instagram, whatever. So this week's episode and next week's episode will be the last ones before I'm back in my own apartment. Anyways, let's talk about self-sabotage. So I'm going to share some of my own personal examples, but first I want to dive into what the hell even is self-sabotage, why do we do it, different types of self-sabotage, things like that. So essentially, self-sabotage is when humans prevent ourselves from achieving the things that we want, our goals, our intentions, whatever it is, we are getting in our own way and we are undermining our own abilities. So before I even really dive into it, I want to say, you are way more capable than you think you are. You have to start to realize how capable you truly are, how much value you truly have. But we will get into all of that. I just wanted to sort of say that affirmation, if you will, of you are far more capable than you even begin to realize. In my opinion, and from my own experience and what I've seen through other people, is our self-sabotaging behaviors is essentially creating physical proof of our limiting beliefs. You know, it is backing up the limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves. An example of this, say someone has a limiting belief that they just don't deserve love. In their relationships, they may self-sabotage and fuck up the relationship and sabotage the relationship by mistreating their partner, by being unloyal, by cheating, by lying, by doing these things and proving to themselves, see, I was right. I don't deserve love because I just fucked this person up who loved me. You know, I just went out of my way to hurt this person when I didn't even want to do it. But I couldn't help myself. I don't deserve love. And I think there are a couple of reasons why we do this. One, if you feel like you don't deserve love, and this is going to, go into it more. You always find what you're looking for, right? You create your own reality and you can view this through the spiritual lens of You can view this through the spiritual lens of vibrations and you attract what you're aligned with, which I do believe in. But also, if you are telling yourself constantly, I don't deserve love, I don't deserve love, I'm going to fuck it up, all of these things, that's what you're going to find. Because, if we dive into affirmations, placebo effect, whatever you want to call it, the more you tell yourself something, the more it's going to be true, right? And you're going to create this belief in your head that you are going to fuck it up. So that's what you're going to experience, it's like the blue car game. You never really notice blue cars on the road until you start thinking a lot about blue cars. And then suddenly you see every single blue car that's ever existed on the planet. If you have this limiting belief that all men are shit and men are disloyal and men are going to fuck you over and men are going to cheat, you're going to subconsciously attract the men who do that. You are subconsciously seeking them out to prove yourself right. Also, I'm a firm believer in this idea that you will never receive what you are not ready for. So if you're constantly telling yourself that men are trash and all men cheat and men are disloyal and you can never have a healthy relationship because you've been hurt in the past, you're not going to get sent a man who is loyal and who does good things and who will treat you right because you aren't ready for him. You will not treat him right because even if he is a good man and he would never cheat on you, you won't trust him anyway. So you would sabotage that relationship. You get what I'm saying? So you're always going to find what you're looking for. Your subconscious will never set you up for failure in what you believe, right? Our minds are very good at attracting what we believe in. So if you believe you are not deserving of love, you will go out of your way subconsciously to fuck up and sabotage your relationships with people to prove that you are not deserving of love, even though you are. But honestly, in my opinion, I think it is a lot easier on us when we create physical proof of our limiting beliefs And what I mean by that is it is a lot less painful to say I don't deserve love because I cheated on my partner and because I really mistreated them and because I'm a liar, rather than coming to the terms with the fact that you just simply believe you are undeserving of love as is. Does that make sense? Because in your mind, you think you're just undeserving of love. You do not think you deserve love. But that's a very painful realization to come through, that you think at your core you just don't deserve love. That hurts, because then you have to start to dive into where did that come from, and that takes a lot of work. It's a lot easier to just fuck something up and be like, that's why I don't deserve love, you know? So we subconsciously self-sabotage to like prove ourselves right and to honestly make it easy on ourselves. Self-sabotaging and doing shitty things to sabotage your relationships or to sabotage your goals, to sabotage the things you want, is taking the easy way out. I'll be the first one to say it. It is. It's making another excuse for yourself. And stop fucking doing that, because you're not going to get the life you want by taking the easy way out. Okay? Okay. So why do people self-sabotage? I personally believe there are like two main reasons why. Obviously, I think they all come from subconscious beliefs or fears or whatever it is. But that's the thing. I think it either comes from a subconscious belief or a subconscious fear. So a lot of times we feel like we are not deserving of the thing that we want. And you have to get to the bottom of that. Why? Most times it's from childhood programming, low self-esteem, which often comes from childhood. But our subconscious mind is heavily formed before the time we turn 7. So this is going to not be easy work. And it's not going to be painless work either to figure out where these beliefs are coming from, because it's a lot of like looking into your childhood and healing those things. But a lot of the times we self-sabotage because we do not think we deserve the things that we want. Another thing is our fear. You know, a lot of the times, and if we're looking at the example of love again or anything, we're afraid of being hurt. We're afraid of hurting others. We're afraid of turning into the people that traumatized us. We are afraid of traumatizing others in the way that we have been traumatized. We are afraid of getting the thing that we want and still not being happy. There are so many different fears. Being afraid of your own potential, whatever it may be, we all have these fears in our head, and some of them are even fears of being proved right. You know, what if, you know, I allow myself to accept love and I work through these things and then I get proved that, yeah, I am undeserving of love. Like I get proved that, yeah, I'm not happy when I get there. You know what I mean? We're afraid of having our own limiting beliefs being proved right. And that's hurtful as well. There are so many fears and so many beliefs and so many things that are blocking you that you aren't even aware of, because oftentimes we don't really take the time to sit with ourselves. Once you really take the time to start being aware of the you know, the words you're telling yourself constantly, what's on loop, what are you saying to yourself on a daily basis, it's not hard to figure out what your limiting beliefs are. You just have to pay attention. But most times people don't want to take the time to pay attention to themselves because, oh, that's scary. It's not easy. Paying attention and sitting with yourself and listening to what you're actually repeating to yourself on a daily basis, the stories that you're telling yourself, the things that you believe about yourself and your own abilities, is really sad. And it's hard to face. But if you want to get where you need to be and where you want to be, you're going to have to face it. I want to repeat this because this is something that I really needed to hear. Two things. One, you're never going to get what you aren't ready for, which I already mentioned with the relationship example. You will never get what you're not ready for. So in order to get the things that you want, you have to get ready for it. And a part of getting ready for those things is believing that you deserve them, believing that you are ready for them. Okay, now we're going to talk about in the ways that humans often self-sabotage. I came up with 3 main categories. Obviously, there are more than that. But this is just from my personal experience, what I've experienced myself self-sabotaging with the most, and also from what I've seen. But obviously, there are so many more, and you'll figure out your ways that you self-sabotage on your own journey. And I know it seems scary and intense to have to go through that process, but I promise it doesn't have to be. You got it. You are more capable than you even think. Oh, these are the 3 main categories that people most often self-sabotage in: relationships, health, and their goals. Finances, career, whatever it may be, we'll get into that. I'm going to go through each category and tell you some of the limiting beliefs that I've experienced myself, that I've dealt with, that I've worked through, and that I've seen other people experience. Then we're going to really like dive into it, talk about it, and then share how to get better. What can you do, essentially? So with relationships, the most common limiting beliefs that I have seen and experienced, one, feeling undeserving of love, which might I say, one of the shittiest feelings ever. Also, I feel like people don't talk about enough. I don't think people talk about limiting beliefs in general enough. And I know this is an episode on self-sabotage, but they go hand in hand. You self-sabotage due to your limiting beliefs. I don't think people talk about how limiting beliefs bleed into every area of your life and they affect nearly everything you do. So I've dealt with this limiting belief for a really long time, and it's something I'm still really working through, is feeling undeserving of love. And once again, our limiting beliefs, most of them stem from childhood because our subconscious mind was formed from the age of 0 to 7. That's when it's most malleable. I don't know if that's even the word I want to look for. We're a sponge, you know? As a child, we are sponges. We soak up every single thing we experience in our childhood. And also, you got to think about it. Like, you're born into this world really not knowing shit. Everything we know and believe and fear, you know, everything about ourselves when we are children is formed from the people around us. So you are what you are told you are as a child. Adulthood is really a lot of just learning who you are and who you want to be, and learning that you are not the person that you have been told you are growing up, you know? So a lot of times we experience beliefs, and a lot of the subconscious beliefs and the limiting beliefs and the fears that you hold on to aren't even yours. They are simply something that you have held on to because you were told this, or you were made to believe this as a child, because your subconscious mind is so receptive in our childhood between the ages of 0 to 7, obviously all the way throughout our childhood, but especially in those developmental years. We are sponges. We are soaking up every single thing people are telling us about ourselves, about the world, and it's creating all these beliefs and fears because they are telling us these things and we believe them, and then we create our own perceptions of them. So as adults, we are now unlearning the things that people have told us, that we have believed that we are, that we have believed about the world. And that's not easy. It's not easy, but it is your responsibility. It's never too late to unlearn something. And that goes far beyond limiting beliefs, like I just mentioned. But the same goes for limiting beliefs, you know? If you feel you are undeserving of love, it comes from somewhere. All of these limiting beliefs, they have a root. They come from somewhere. And a lot of the times, they are from the people who raised you or who were around you a lot as a child. But once again, limiting beliefs can come from adulthood, you know? So it may have come from some friendships you had, or your first boss, or a recent relationship. But a lot of the times, in order for something to stick in your subconscious, it has to happen a lot. And that's why so many early memories and things from our childhood stick in our subconscious, because we were so sensitive then. And by sensitive, I mean our subconscious brain was just a sponge soaking in everything it could. As adults, it's not likely to do that, because not only do we have our own thought processes, we have a sense of self. It's not as easy for someone's words to stick in our brain. Granted, they still can, but it's not nearly as easy as a child. So when you're growing up and you're experiencing people who are not caring for you, they are not making you feel loved, they are not providing you with what you need as a child, which is comfort, care, love, affection, and also meeting your basic needs. If your caretakers or the people around you are not doing that, your brain starts to think, okay, why? I guess I just don't deserve it. Because naturally, that's what you're going to do. Our brains like to justify the things that we're experiencing. It's human nature. We like to come up with a reason. Humans like to think there's a reason for everything. So the reason our brain comes up with when we're not having our needs met is we must think we just don't deserve it. Because as a child, you're not going to be able to realize they just aren't capable of giving it to me. We're more so realizing, I guess I just don't deserve it. I'm not getting it, so I don't deserve it. A lot of people, more than you would think, have this underlying belief that they do not deserve love. They do not deserve to be cared for. They do not deserve the things that they want because they did not receive them as a child, which is so sad. But that's why it's so important to be in tune with your inner child. And once again, you can take this in the spiritual direction if you want, but also it doesn't have to be. Your younger self, like every version of yourself, still exists within you. Who we are now is simply a collection of every version of our past self. 15-year-old me is a big part of who I am now. 2-year-old me is a big part of who I am now. 8-year-old me, you know what I mean? Yesterday's me is a big part of who I am now. It's really important to look back on these different versions of yourself and reflect on, like, what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about the world? And how does that affect me still to this day? and then work through that and work with that version of yourself. Another one that comes up a lot with relationships is trust issues, feeling like you cannot trust anybody. And I just want to say this once again, you'll always find what you're looking for. So if you feel like you can't trust anybody, that's going to be true because you just won't trust people. Once again, you create your reality. So when you have trust problems and you feel like you cannot trust people, it's not that every single person in your life is not trustworthy. It's that you cannot trust anyone. So you will not trust any person in your life. And you feel like every person in the world is simply untrustworthy. But it's truly just that you cannot trust people. And also, I have to say this, at the core of trust issues is you not being able to trust yourself. So if you have a hard time trusting other people, really look into that. Do you trust yourself? Because one of the most healing things I'd ever heard that helped me so much with my trust issues was no. At the end of the day, you cannot trust that someone won't hurt you. Because you've been hurt before. You know that people are capable of hurting you. So how could you ever trust someone that they cannot do something that someone has already done to you? You can't. But what you can do is trust yourself that you will get through it. You will be okay if it does happen. And you will be fine. That makes it so much easier to live a happy life. It is so painful going through life feeling so terrified of being hurt by everyone in your life. Even if someone has never shown you a sign that they will hurt you or they will fuck you over, if you have this deep belief that people can't be trusted and that you will crumble if they do hurt you, it's terrifying. It is so terrifying. And nobody deserves to feel that way. And whether it came from not being able to trust or rely on your parents, or it came from a relationship you had where you were cheated on, or it came from you not being able to trust yourself, whatever it is, you don't deserve to feel that way. And you do deserve to trust people, but first you have to trust yourself. And in order to trust yourself, you have to be someone who is trustworthy. Here's how you're going to trust yourself. In order to trust yourself and to work through your trust issues with others, you have to be someone who is trustworthy. When you meet someone, what are some red flags that makes you be like, this person is not trustworthy? What of those red flags do you do to yourself? For me, when I meet someone and I'm like, they are not trustworthy, they are not safe to trust, it's when people can't keep their word and when people lie. How often do you break your promises to yourself and do you lie to yourself? How often? In any situation, one of the easiest examples is like with health and exercising. How often do you tell yourself, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to go for a walk? And how often do you wake up that next day and not go for a walk? You're lying to yourself. So how could you trust yourself if you're lying to yourself? And then how can you get mad at people for lying to you when you do it to yourself? I will always come back to this point and I live by this. You cannot expect someone to do something for you that you cannot and will not even do for yourself. So if you can't keep your word to yourself, why should someone else keep their word to you, right? You struggle with trusting other people because you're struggling with trusting yourself. And granted, trust issues also deal with like people hurting you in the past. But if you trusted yourself and you knew you would get through it and you would be okay, it wouldn't be an issue to trust other people. And I'm not saying you need to blindly trust everybody. Absolutely not. Have your wits about you, babe. You know, keep those red flags. But you do deserve to get into relationships and friendships and situations with people where you are not constantly on guard and fearful of being hurt. Because that's what happens when you don't trust yourself to get through things. You have survived every single thing you've experienced up until this point. You will get through it. But also on that note of trust, if someone has done something to you that you never want them to do again, leave them. Because you can't trust them that they won't do it again. They've already shown you they're capable of doing it. You, like, if you never want to experience it again, the only way that you can ensure that doesn't happen to you again is to leave them, to separate yourself from them. I just, like, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people complain about things, but they do nothing to change their situation. I have met so many people who complain about their partners or are sick of being mistreated, but they don't leave. What do you expect? This person has shown you who they are and how they will treat you. You're the one who's choosing to stay. You know, obviously, like that, I know toxic relationships are very difficult. I've been that person myself, which is why it's my biggest pet peeve. Because God, looking back on it, it's so hard to see myself go through a relationship and just cry every night and be so sad about how I was being treated, but stay for some reason. This is not talking about abuse or anything like that. That's very different. This is talking about your normal day-to-day toxic relationship where people just are shit. Another thing that, I've experienced in relationships, but also this ties into a lot of different things, is feeling like you deserve to be treated badly. Once again, when you grow up and you're treated badly your whole life, you feel like you deserve it. So then you will subconsciously seek out relationships with people who treat you badly, and then you will stay because you think you deserve it. You don't deserve to be treated badly. Sorry to break it to you. Next, moving past relationships. One way, this is honestly, I think, when people talk about self-sabotage, I think the biggest thing they think of is with their goals, because humans, a lot of the times, we do sabotage our own goals and our wants and our intentions and everything. A big, big, big way is with finances. Once again, your subconscious mind will not allow you to become something you hate. And so many people say, I hate rich people, I hate the rich, but they want money. You're not going to become wealthy because you hate rich people, and your subconscious brain will not let you become something that you hate. So you have to work through this hatred towards rich people. You can hate the way certain rich people use their money and choose to not do good to society. You can hate how, you can hate the values of certain people. You can dislike how certain people treat other people and what they do with their money. But if you sit here and hate rich people, but you want to be rich, you're never going to be that, because your subconscious brain will not let you become something that you hate. A lot of people feel unworthy of money or success. A lot of people have this fear that they will get what they want and still be unhappy. That was a really big one for me. When you grow up lower class, you always sort of have this idea that, oh, I just need money and I'd be happy. And to an extent, yeah, money will make you happy, because when you're not worrying about trying to survive, that's great, you know? When you're not like, all of your energy isn't going towards how am I going to make money so I can pay rent and live and, you know, just survive. That feels good. Money can get rid of your worries about money, but it's not going to make you fully happy. You start to realize, oh, I don't think this is all I thought it was. You know, once I started to make a little bit of money, I realized, fuck, this thing that I was sort of banking on my whole life to make me happy isn't going to do that. And that's kind of scary. So realizing like money isn't gonna buy my happiness. When you grow up lower class and you see all of your family lower class who has busted their ass, and you see a lot of people who really struggle with money and aren't quote unquote successful, but they're good people and they do all the right things and they just don't get money and they don't, once again, reach success, you're sort of like, well, if they don't deserve it, I certainly don't. So many people feel like they don't deserve success or don't deserve the things that they want or don't deserve money. That's not true. At all. If the top 1% deserves money, so do you, babe. A lot of times people will self-sabotage with their finances because if they think they don't deserve money, or they have this limiting belief that they are not good with money, they are bad spenders, they are reckless with their money, that's going to be the truth, and they're going to be bad spenders. And if you think you don't deserve it, you're going to blow it. You're not going to be good at saving your money because you think you don't deserve it. And a lot of people want to be rich, and this goes into spirituality a bit. You're not going to get what you aren't ready for. So many people be like, oh my God, I want to win the lottery and get $1 million. Okay, if you got $1 million right now, what the hell would you do with it? You'd panic, and then you'd blow it all probably. Be so fucking for real. You're not going to get something you're not ready for, right? I've even experienced this. Like, I used to manifest a certain amount of money each month. I would not have known what to do with it. But once I started to get smarter about my finances and let myself know, I deserve this, I'm ready for this, this is what I would do with this money, this, and this, I started to get it easily. You have to work through these beliefs, and you have to get yourself ready for the life that you want. You're not going to get anything you aren't ready for. So if you're trying to manifest this massive, extravagant life, but you aren't living in alignment with that, how the fuck do you think you're going to get that? You know what I mean? You have to be the person who can live the life that you want. So in order to get the things that you want, you have to get ready for them. Anyways, another way we self-sabotage a lot is with our health, mental health, physical health, all of it. And I'm going to get into it. Going back to what I said in the beginning of this episode, a lot of the time self-sabotage is us creating sort of physical proof of our limiting beliefs, or it's keeping us stuck in these cycles that we think we deserve to be in. A lot of time we self-sabotage to maintain this bad mood that we're in, to give us a reason to be in a bad mood. And I've seen this a lot with my sister. Love her to death, but I know she's not listening. My sister is in a constant state of being in a bad mood. She's gotten a lot better with this, but she was like just miserable. I've always said this to her. I'm like, babe, you're just looking for reasons to be pissed off. You may have experienced this in a relationship with someone where people, you know, those people who just love to pick a fucking fight. Some people just want to fight. So they will look for any reason to fight because in their mind, they have this belief that you did something wrong, or they may even be self-sabotaging that they don't deserve love. So they're going to pick a reason of why you're hurting them. Or they have this belief that everyone in their life is out to get them, or That's a good one. I never even thought about them. A lot of people probably have that belief that everyone in their life is out to get them. That way, when people try to communicate with them, they automatically take that as, see, I told you. They're communicating their feelings with me. I did something wrong, of course. I can't do anything right. That's a limiting belief that a lot of people have that causes a lot of fucking trouble. Because if someone tries to communicate with them, they instantly take that as, I can't do anything right. Shut up. Like, we all have these limiting beliefs and they're all equally as fucking annoying to anyone else in our life. So you have to work through it. Maintaining a bad mood, thinking you will never get better, be better, experience better. Why do you think that? So many people say that with mental illness, and I'm not saying you can manifest away your mental illness, but like for me personally, I really had to work through this with my ADHD because I took it on as my identity immediately because it was a great excuse for all the things I was going through. When a lot of it could have been solved through my diet and through exercising, like I've worked through a lot of my ADHD symptoms. Granted, I do still have ADHD, but it's not nearly as bad as it once was because I'm not attaching myself to that and identifying with those problems, and I'm not using it as an excuse to stay in this cycle. That can sound very ableist, and I want to clarify, like, this is not for everybody. This is like, you'll know if it's for you or not. But for example, for me, I used to really struggle with depressive episodes, but I kept myself in them. And I've talked about this, I don't know if it was in an episode or what it was in, but like, I'll give you my two most recent depressive episodes as an example. 2 years ago, I went into one and I was just like really going through a lot in my life. And I sort of started to do things to justify why I was feeling so bad mentally rather than just sitting and accepting I'm depressed. Why am I depressed going into that? Obviously, I was depressed because I was experiencing a lot of shitty things in my life and I had a lot of trauma being triggered by that. That's going to be fucking depressing and hard. But rather than sitting with that and allowing myself to feel that, I started to try to self-sabotage, to, I guess, make it worse and maintain this depression because I thought I deserved it, but also because I wanted to give myself a physical justification for why I was feeling like shit, even though there already was one. Trauma was being triggered. That's enough justification to be depressed in itself. But instead, I started eating like absolute dog shit. I cut off all of my friends. I never moved my body. I literally didn't get out of my bed for probably 6 months. I started blowing all of my money. Like, I did things that made me more depressed for all of those reasons. I thought I deserved to be depressed. And I also thought I needed physical justification as to why. Obviously, in that moment, I didn't realize what I was doing. But now looking back, it's very clear. I needed a reason to be depressed, so I told myself it was this, 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 and this. And I also blamed it on my birth control. Like, I blamed it on so many things when really the excuse was already there. The reason was already there. I didn't need to do that. But I wanted to maintain this bad mood because I thought I deserved it. More recently, so after that, I really decided to work through that after gaining 40 fucking pounds in about 4 months. I was like, this is something I need to work through so this never happens again because I treated myself like shit and I really was not doing well mentally. October of this past October, I started to go into a really bad depression again. And I felt myself wanting to self-sabotage. I felt myself wanting to cut my friends off. I felt myself wanting to stop working out and stop moving. I felt myself wanting to eat shitty foods. I felt myself wanting to do all these things because I didn't really, I guess a part of me did still think I deserved it. Not as much because I was like, no, I don't deserve to feel like shit. I'm not going to do this. But also, I wanted to justify why I was feeling shitty. Rather than taking accountability and being like, Allison, you feel like shit because you've been drinking too much alcohol, which was another way I self-sabotaged, and that's a whole other thing. But I didn't want to take accountability for the fact that I've been drinking too much alcohol, I've been going out too much, I've been around the wrong people, and I feel lonely. I couldn't accept the fact that I felt lonely due to moving to Florida, and I was sad, so I was like, okay, let's find out the reasons why I'm sad. Let me start drinking. I knew drinking would make me sad. I did it anyways. But I couldn't accept that I was lonely because that was a whole other thing attached to my identity. You get what I'm saying? This shit is deep. There's a lot of layers to this, but there's all a reason to it. And once you start peeling back the layers, you're going to get to the root of it of like, oh, damn, who told me that? Behind my fear of like admitting that I was lonely was a fear of asking for help, was a fear that I couldn't be strong. That was my whole identity growing up, is I had to be the strong one. And now that I've unraveled that, my life has improved so much. Because no, I don't have to be fucking strong. I'm actually not. Thanks. I'm not strong. I just simply had to survive. What else did you expect from me? Anyways, that was a whole lot of that. But I hope any of it made sense. I don't know if it did. You deserve to be better. You deserve to feel better. And you deserve to experience better. So work through that. another way that people self-sabotage when it comes to health is what you eat and what you eat and sort of how you move your body. This is something that I really have been working through a lot recently, which has prompted me to make this episode, because I have struggled with my weight my entire life. My weight has always fluctuated. It's always been a thing. Until more recently, that's changed. This cardinal keeps landing on my window. I don't know if you guys can see it. But I always had this belief in my head that I was bigger boned. It was genetic that I would just be bigger. I'd always have more meat on my bones. I could never lose weight. So I never fucking did it. I would try to lose weight because I wanted to be skinny, but I never thought I could be skinny, so I would never be skinny. I would self-sabotage and go out of my way and eat things that I knew weren't good for me and all of these things due to many reasons. One, I thought I could never do it, so therefore I could never do it. And I also hated skinny people. I think when you're like bigger growing up, you have this deep resentment for people who are naturally skinny, because it's like, fuck you. Why do you naturally look like I want to look, and you treat yourself like shit? Meanwhile, I'm over here working my ass off and I still don't look like that. Fuck you. I was so pissed off at skinny people. Your subconscious mind won't let you become something you hate. So I wasn't going to become skinny if I hated skinny people. Also, I think your intention is important a lot. And there's a whole episode I did on this if you want to hear more. It's called How to Stop Hating Your Body. I really dove into this. But like, I had to realize two things. I had two really big limiting beliefs. One was that I didn't deserve to be taken care of. And the other was that I deserved to feel like shit. I just grew up experiencing people not caring about me or not taking care of me, and I also felt like shit constantly, that my brain was like, oh, you must deserve it, you deserve to feel like shit, and you deserve to not be taken care of. So therefore that would manifest by me not taking care of myself and doing things that made me feel like shit. I would eat things that made me feel like shit. I would not exercise. I would subconsciously self-sabotage my mental health because I thought I deserved to feel badly and I thought I did not deserve to be taken care of. As you can see, there are so many limiting beliefs that wrap into our behaviors. But once I worked through those two, the big ones, the way I take care of myself has changed drastically, because now I do things because I know I deserve to be taken care of, and I know I deserve to be I deserve to feel good, not because I want to be skinny. The fuck? I deserve to be taken care of, so I do it. I take care of myself even when I don't want to. I know I deserve to feel good, so I do things that make me feel good. It's changed my life. Absolutely. And everyone has their own things and whatever it may be. So that's something for you to look into, of how this may be affecting your health. And once again, it goes into every area of life. I thought I didn't deserve to be taken care of. That really bled into my relationships. And I always like have this deep want to be taken care of. So I would never even let myself go into the dating world because I thought I didn't deserve it. But that's like one of the biggest things I want in a person, is someone who makes me feel safe. But if I felt like I don't deserve to be taken care of and I don't deserve to feel safe, I'm not going to allow myself to access that in a person. You know what I mean? And since I've worked through that, I've connected with people who make me feel safe and secure and taken care of, and it's been really awesome to experience. So anyways, this bled into this, like, I don't deserve to be cared for, I deserve to be treated badly, bled into how others treated me and my relationships, my friendships, my family, how I treated myself, and even the things that like came into my life, brands, clients, people I worked with. I experienced some shitty fucking things because I thought I deserved to be treated like shit. So obviously, and since working through this, I've gotten some really amazing clients. I've gotten some really amazing opportunities. It's been amazing because I feel like I deserve it. And now I know I'm ready for a life where I can be taken care of. Even if before I wanted to be taken care of, which I always have, if someone tried to take care of me, I was in such a state of hyper-independence, I would have, like, cut them off and been like, you think I'm incapable or something, bitch? Anyways, this is getting long. So what can you do to stop self-sabotaging? Number one, address your limiting beliefs. This is going to be the end-all, be-all, essentially. Because you self-sabotage from what's rooted in your limiting beliefs, you have to work through them. Once again, a majority of our subconscious beliefs were formed before the age of 7. So you have to start looking into what were the things that I was told? What were the stories I was told? Who was I told I was that I needed to be afraid of? All of these things as a child. I'm going to say write a list, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. Start being more aware at the very least of the things that you're saying to yourself. I think you should write a list in a journal or on your phone whenever something comes up, but be more aware of the things that you're saying to yourself. Whenever you catch yourself saying, I am not, what comes after that? That's a limiting belief. I can't, I never, Or even I am. I'm stupid. Hello? You think you're stupid. That's a limiting belief. So just be aware of the things that you say about yourself, but also the things you say about others or anything. How you speak about money, how you speak about relationships, how you speak about the things that you want. Do you think you are capable of getting them? Do you think you're deserving of the things that you want? What do you think you are capable of? What do you think you are not capable of? Start to be very aware of the words that you're saying to yourself. You'll realize pretty quickly what your limiting beliefs are. And if you haven't already gotten like what a limiting belief is, it's just that any belief that you hold that is holding you back, right? Doesn't have to be complicated. I'm stupid. I am not able to do this. I'm clumsy. I am whatever. What are the things that you want and what are the beliefs that are getting in the way? Start working on unlearning these beliefs and start working on like unweaving them from your identity and replacing them with something new. Whenever you're working on replacing your limiting beliefs with a new one, with an empowering belief, don't try to go 180. Because it's going to be fucking hard to believe. So if you've went your whole life thinking you're undeserving of love, you can't just say, I deserve love. Say that to yourself, but also see how your brain feels. If you feel like, okay, this is something I can believe, that's awesome. But if it feels way too far-fetched, start to say like, I am learning that I deserve love. I am working on believing that I deserve love. Start to do this. And when you're saying affirmations, the affirmation community don't come for me, but like, affirmations are bullshit if you're not doing anything to help yourself believe them. Affirmations can work, but only if your actions are aligned with it. If you are trying to make yourself believe that you are valuable, but you are doing things that show you do not value yourself, that's not going to work. You have to put your actions behind it. Just like you would expect your partner, words don't mean shit. Actions speak louder than words. Hold that same energy for yourself. If you are trying to convince yourself that you deserve love, but you are willingly entertaining people that show you not even respect, let alone love, why the fuck would you believe you deserve love if you're allowing yourself to be around these people? If you want to make yourself believe you deserve to be taken care of, but you won't even take care of yourself, and you're eating like shit, and you're not exercising, and you are just scrolling on TikTok all day, and you're not working towards your goals, you're not making yourself believe you deserve to be taken care of. You have to support your words of affirmation with your actions fully. Also, when you are working through your limiting beliefs, I urge you to ask yourself, who said this to me? Who made me believe this? Whenever you think like, I'm stupid, who said that to you? Who told you that? This is something I love to ask people in my life when I hear them say like a really big limiting belief. It's like, who told you that? Who made you believe that? Where did this come from? And it might take a while and it might be uncomfortable, but sit with that because that's going to be really helpful in like unhooking that from your identity. Do things to prove these beliefs wrong, you know? If you think you are not valuable, go out of your way to show yourself, see, I'm so valuable. Treat yourself like you are something worth value. And also another thing is hypnotherapy. You can see a hypnotherapist. You can look up on Instagram hypnotherapists. They aren't super expensive. I've had a hypnotherapist before. It was incredible. You can just look up hypnotherapy recordings on YouTube as well for whatever you want to work through. But hypnotherapy is great for rewiring your subconscious brain. It's also great for like accessing traumas that you don't remember. Also, there's one thing that I did forget to talk about is a way we self-sabotage. Look at your love languages. The opposite of our love language is often how we self-sabotage the most to hurt ourselves. So, for example, if your love language is words of affirmation, you might self-sabotage by saying really hurtful things to yourself. If your love language is quality time, you might isolate yourself a lot. If your love language is receiving gifts, you might overspend or you may overbudget and never allow yourself to buy yourself a gift. If your love language is acts of service, you might constantly procrastinate the thing that you know you need to get done. Or not do something that you know would make you feel good. So that's something to look at as well. Okay, friends, that's going to be it for this episode. I know I posted on my Instagram story that I was doing an advice episode this week. That's going to be next week's episode. So that's why I'm not answering an advice thing this week, because next week's episode is going to be all about answering the anonymous things you submitted for advice. So if you're listening to this and you want to get advice in next week's episode, click the link in the description of this episode. If you're on YouTube, please give this a thumbs up, subscribe, comment. It really helps me. If you're on Spotify or Apple, follow the podcast, give it a 5-star rating, please give it a review. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the Allison LaRue. I love you, friends. You know I do. You deserve healthy love. Please don't ever forget that. And I really hope this helped you. But until next time, I'll see you next Tuesday, friends. Love you. Bye, baby.